Our scripture this morning comes from Luke's gospel, and comes from Luke's gospel beginning at chapter 17. If you are following along in Luke, you will know that slowly but surely we are going ever closer toward Jerusalem, and what for Luke will be the crucial part of the story, which is what happens in Jerusalem on the final week of Jesus's earthly life, and then, of course, what happens afterward as the power of the resurrection, the meaning of the resurrection, the fact of the resurrection come to be known. But these moments of that slow pilgrimage toward Jerusalem represent a really important part of the story also, especially for the church, because as we walk away from Jerusalem and walk in the light of the resurrection, we know that we, like the first disciples, have to grapple with many unknowns just in the way that they did. What it is to be faithful remains very much our challenge, even in the light of the resurrection, just as it was theirs before. And so there is much about these stories that is important for us to hear. And what you need to know about this morning's story is that it's set in this kind of in-between space, as so many of the moments of encounter are for Jesus. It's the space between the region of Samaria and Galilee, which is to say, it's not in the suburbs of Jerusalem, it's in the hinterlands, well beyond that, and in a place that was not necessarily much under the control of the temple itself, or even the active ministry of the Pharisees and the world of synagogues, which had already begun to crop up as more local places for study throughout the Jewish world. And so it is this moment when Jesus is on his way slowly to Jerusalem, but in this in-between space where lots of things can happen. And this is a story of something that happens in that space. Friends, Scripture gives us words of life that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit become the word of life. So let us listen then for that word in this lesson. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. And they called out across that distance, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Where are they? Were none of them found to return and give praise to God except this one?" And then he said to the man, "Get up and go on your way, for your faith has made you well." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. You ever had a moment where you see someone, but you can't quite place the face? You know them, but you can't quite say how. My dad, who worked on Wall Street for much of his career, in the early years, he belonged to the Downtown Athletic Club. The Downtown Athletic Club is the place that does the Heisman. I guess they do other stuff. I guess there's a club there. Anyway, he was part of the club. And he talked about how, you know, it was crazy because you'd go to the Downtown Athletic Club and, you know, you'd be sitting in the sauna talking to somebody or the pool or whatever it was. And then, of course, you would run into them walking on the street, on Wall Street, or kind of in the neighborhood or getting on the subway. You wouldn't recognize them at all because they had their clothes on. can't quite place that face. My grandmother had a lot of those moments, although it wasn't because her grasp on details like that slipped at the end of her life. I mean, even in her prime, my grandmother could run into someone in the supermarket and just have no idea who they were. But the thing about it was Nanny was a pro at that moment. She was a pro. "Gwendy," someone would say enthusiastically, and she would smile her highest wattage smile, and she would say something like, "Oh, there you are. I was just thinking about you." And she loved to have a grandchild as her wingman in those moments, because she would say, "You remember my grandson?" And you know, she had more than one grandson, so sometimes she would be a little bit like she'd forget your name, which, like I said, that was Nanny. But the key move, if you were my grandmother's wingman, was that she would look at you and she would say, "Introduce yourself." She had a lot of little tricks like that. I see people writing that down. It's a good one. Nobody could play off those moments like my grandmother. But they remind us of something deeper, too, I think. They remind us that there is a difference between being seen and being recognized. Last week, I talked quite a bit about the power of being seen, the importance of being seen and feeling seen. This morning, I am coming back to revise and extend those remarks, because I think what I was getting at even more was this idea of recognition. Being seen is important. I mean, of course it is. If you don't cross paths with someone somehow, it doesn't take long before you become invisible to them. And one of the most important things that churches do with our young people is get them out of their own neighborhood and out of their own comfort zone, just so they can begin to see, right? Sometimes the silos within which we are living are starkly different and impossible to ignore. But the thing about silos is that they make us really good at ignoring all kinds of things. They render particular things important and make others unimportant or relatively more important versus relatively less important in our immediate context, whatever it may be. This means that some of the ways in which we silo ourselves can turn out to be quite subtle. And in that sense, just to see, to learn to see, is an important place to begin. I've spoken before about the time that I chaperoned a freshman trip of very jaded New York City boys to an outdoor retreat center here in Connecticut. Now, some of those programs you may have heard of. This is not a sort of bring a child into nature and let them forest bathe kind of thing. It wasn't that. These were kids who could go anywhere, and a lot of them did, and had wonderful kind of traveler's resumes, and already at their young age passports that were very full. But they were New York kids, to be sure, the kind of kids who knew how to cross traffic, not waiting for the light at Times Square, and survive and think nothing of it. And so when we got to this place, they were told, you got to bundle up, we're taking a night hike. And they're like, fine, night hike. There was one rule. No phones, no flashlights, no electronic, no earbuds, none of that. Just had to be you. Nothing electric to help you. And what was so interesting about that moment was these kids who were so battle-tested in so many ways, so jaded and blasé in many ways, kids who would take the subway at 2 a.m. and be like, yeah, you know, there were some creeps, but it was fine, became completely unglued at walking down a wide, smooth Connecticut logging road in the dark, because they could not see. They did not know how to see. So sometimes just to see is an important place to begin. And yet that said, there's another challenge, and in some ways it is a deeper one, because beyond seeing, there is learning to recognize. And that's different, right? To recognize. When we were all wearing masks during COVID, wasn't it amazing how quickly anonymous we became to one another? Jackie's nodding. I know that there were times when, you know, I was the one who was deputized to go get COVID in order to bring groceries home to our house. And, you know, so sometimes you would get, you know, sent out on some sort of emergency run. And, you know, times were tough, as we know. So I wasn't necessarily kind of in my pastor getup when I would go to the Acme. And you don't always want to be seen when you're not in your pastor getup. And so, you know, that mask, I kind of felt like, you know, the mask is good. I could be anybody in my sweatpants. It's amazing when we think back on it, how anonymous we became to one another. And sometimes that's helpful. When you see somebody, when all you do is see them, you're just sharing the same space, right? When you recognize someone, it's a little different. When you recognize someone, it's because you're sharing the same story. And that's why this morning's story of the one leper who turns back is such a great story. I mean, all of that must have just happened in a flash for everybody. Jesus, as we said, is on his way to Jerusalem. He's traveling through some whistle-stop sort of a town when he encounters 10 lepers. They keep their distance, story says so, but they call out to him. They know who he is. They recognize him at least to that extent. They recognize him to the extent of they know the stories of what he can do. And in their distress, they call out, hoping he will be able to work the magic on their behalf. And he does. And the story that takes over for them at that moment is the story of how they are now free, what they have now been liberated to do. But what they've been liberated to do is resume the life that they had. When he says, go show yourselves to the priest, that was what religious obligation required, because a priest was the one you had to go find in order to receive permission to return home. It was the priest who would say, well, it looks like God has done God's thing. You may return to wherever it is that you are from. You can take up your life. You can resume that story. Again. And who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't? If you've been in the hospital yourselves or someone you know has been in the hospital, you know. They do a lot of good work at the hospital, but at a certain point, you just want to be home, right? I would rather recuperate on my own couch than surrounded by all of the stuff. I just want to be home. Anybody would want that. And that's what these guys want. But what they don't see in their haste to resume that story of who they were and who they're going to get to be again, they don't see that they're in the presence of an even bigger and an even more powerful, an even more important story. I mean, maybe it just happens that fast. But the point is, even though it's fast, whatever it is, there is one of them. One. The tenth leper, who doesn't just see that he's been healed, doesn't just see Jesus and then see that he's been healed. He recognizes Jesus. He recognizes what's happened. And so he doesn't just see a way to return to his old story and take it up again. He has been changed. He understands himself, all of them, actually to be part of a new story. He recognizes the presence and love of God in his life. And so he's not just cured. He has been made well. He is not just getting back to it. He's transformed. And that's what Jesus lifts up, hoping that we will learn to recognize him too, hoping that we will come to recognize the way in which God is at work in our lives. Blessings are not hard to name when you make an effort to name them. The ways that love is working in and on and through us are not hard to see, although I'm not sure that we always try. But when we do, when you sit, when you think about it, it does not take much to see that, to name them. And when we do, the more we do, the easier it gets. And yet I'm not sure. I'm not sure we really recognize God's hand in our blessings. Not really. A lot of Christians can name check God. You get that a lot in churches if you spend time in churches. You know, how are you doing today? Oh, I am blessed. Blessed. And we are. Of course, that's true. A lot of people just say that in a kind of surfacey way, right? And think about it. If we really recognized God, if we really did, those moments wouldn't be these little polite things that some people say. They wouldn't be the humble brags they so often are. They would be testimonies. And listening to them wouldn't be an exercise in politeness for any of us. We'd be sitting on the edge of our seats to hear it, the way that we are when someone talks about an intruder in the house at midnight. What did you do then? What happened then? And in some sense, that's the vision of God coming into our lives, intruding. Not to do harm, but to do good. Not to hurt life, but to bring life. And to give us a way into this new story of the unfolding things that love is doing in the world, that God would have us join in order that even more might know what it is to be blessed. And so it is one thing to see, and God bless seeing. But the deeper opportunity for all of us is to open ourselves to recognize God. Recognize the way in which the world is being transformed, and we are being invited to be part of that transformation. Amen.